All right then. Hello, everybody. Hi. If I haven't got a chance to meet you yet, my name is Jamel Jones. I'm a pastor here on staff at this church. And to start our time together, I would love to tell y'all a story, okay? It's a story that involves skateboarding. So whenever a person brings a prop that rolls as such, people get scared. Is he gonna fall? You can put your cell phones down, okay? This isn't gonna be a trending moment or anything like that. I've been riding a skateboard for about 19 years, so I'm pretty sure I'll be okay. I'm not gonna jump off anything. I'm just gonna roll a little bit, okay? Just gonna roll. So, skateboarding. Let me tell you about, I'm not sure the difference before I start between like bragging and telling the truth, but I'm gonna tell you the truth that makes me look kinda good, so there's that. So, I'm unsure if you're familiar with this day, but June 21st, every year is National Go Skateboarding Day, okay? I mean, there's National Donut Day, National Talk Like a Pirate Day, so skateboarding should get a day, right? So National Go Skateboarding Day. And every single year, there is like a party slash competition that happens. And the local skateboard shop, the only place you should buy skateboards from Richmond, Virginia, Venue Skateboards, they actually throw this like competition party. And about 3 years ago, right, I said to myself, skateboard, this is our year. Okay? Because what happens at Go Skateboarding Day is the who's who of skateboarding show up in one place, and they're all together. And we actually have a professional skateboarder that lives in Richmond, Virginia. If you have ever worn Vans, you might have accidentally bought his shoe at some point and were wearing it, and you just didn't know about it. So I said to myself, weeks before, I'm going to train. Okay, I'm gonna practice my tricks, I'm gonna get myself ready, because when Go Skateboarding Day shows up, I'm gonna show out, all right? So the day comes, and everything I'd ever want was there, you know? So the way that it works, at this competition at least, they had like a jump ramp, you know, over a trash can. And I said to myself, ha ha ha, I've been jumping over trash cans since I knew how to throw trash away, which unfortunately wasn't until age 10, because I was dirty before, you know what I'm saying? So that's about how long it was. And I was ready, okay? So I was almost ready, actually, because you gotta get used to the ramp, right? So like I'm skating in, I'm like hitting it, I'm just, the board's going every which way, I'm like trying stuff, all right? But as I was getting used to it and got my first ollie over the trash can, right, I said to myself, I know exactly what trick I can do over this thing. And this is gonna make very little sense to you. It's gonna mean nothing, the explanation of this trick, but it means everything to me, so if you could just humor me. So the trick is called a varial heel flip, okay? So that means the board does 360 this way, and then it does 180 this way, okay? So I'm like trying to do this little thing off the ramp, over the trash can, onto the ground to roll, right? So I'm like trying it a few times and just like looking ridiculous. I'm like, ugh, like over the thing, right? I almost landed in the trash can once. That was unfortunate. And it was looking like I was like nowhere close to this thing. But I did a little shimmy with my feet, right? I got my stuff ready. I was like, all right, I need to push like three times. I can do this. And so I go over. I think this is the try. And it's not, and it doesn't work. But every couple times I'm adjusting, right, and then I get to the point where I'm in the air, and I see, oh snap, this is the one, and then I catch it with my foot, and then I land. Guys, I was so shocked that I did this. I rolled away like this. Like, so excited, okay, and I landed, and I sat down, like, I'm done, that's the only trick I got, that's worth it, like, I'm just gonna be finished and just wait and see what happens. And then, at the end of that competition, you know, the guy on the megaphone at the event goes, best trick over the trash can is over, I need, and he points, you, and he's pointing to me, and I'm like, bruh, me? So I, like, follow him, and, like, and guys, I am by no stretch of the imagination, like, the best skateboarder in Richmond, Virginia. I got third place, but y'all, third place felt like something, okay? So in that moment, my skateboard gave me something that felt like joy. Now, it felt like joy. We'll explain, you know, what joy is really a little bit later, difference between joy and happiness and all that stuff. But for right now, felt like joy, that third place at Go Skateboarding Day. I won a prize. It was nice. But so, I've given you the moment of joy. But sometimes, the opposite of joy isn't sadness, my brothers and sisters, my friends, if I can call you friends. It is humiliation. actually. And in the same time, the skateboard has the potential to bring joy. It can bring humiliation. I'll tell you that story next. So I went to VCU. Anyone go to VCU in this room right now? All right, go Rams, go, right? So I'm over at VCU, and I'm a student at this point. Maybe I'm a junior about, and I was, you know, talking to a teacher after class was over because, you know, you gotta get in like that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm talking to this teacher, trying to get some extra points, just some like you points, and then I realize, oh snap, I got another class to go to. So I am like hauling it out of that building. And not every class switch at college is the same, but this is one of them that is the same. So pretty much everybody is out milling and getting to their classes, and I am just like booking it like so hard, so fast, trying to get to my class. And I turn onto Harrison Street like I normally do when I'm late, because unfortunately it was far too often I had my on-time route and my late route to get to my class. So I'm on the late route, and you know, I know this street pretty well, but on this day, there's construction going on. If you know VCU, you know there's way more construction than you'd like. You go on like spring break and come back, whoa, there's three new buildings, how'd this happen? So I'm going down this street, down Harrison, and it's construction all the way out, and I'm like so focused to get to class on time, but not focused enough to see like the huge patch of gravel. And you know, you catch something like way too late. Like I'm going, I'm like, oh man, this is not gonna be good. How am I gonna fix this? Hit the gravel, almost like that. Hit the gravel, and then the board kind of stops, and the board kind of goes that way, and then I'm careening to the ground. And I'm saying to myself, I have like three options in the split second. I can go straight to the face, right? Gravel to face. I could, like, I'm also wearing a backpack, because, you know, your man's is too lazy to, like, go back to his dorm, so he just carries all the day's books in the backpack, right? So the backpack is heavy, and it has its own momentum, right? So the backpack's coming towards me, and I'm like, do I just, like, duck my head and let my backpack go to the ground, but then my computer's in there with all of my stuff? Like, I'm not sure what to do. So I decide, let's go to the shoulder, okay? So backpack's coming, it like hits me in the top of the back, and like I kind of turn over. I'll save you some of the dramatics, but I kind of end up on the ground, not as bad as it could have been, but still pretty bad. And there are dozens of people on the streets, right, looking at me. I'm not sure if it was, like, VCU isn't always this cruel, but this day, VCU was pretty cruel. And no one said anything, really. No one said, like, yo, man, you okay, or nothing. But there was this one guy. Once I got up and people knew I wasn't dead, you know, you're not going to die on a skateboard like that, whatever. But I wasn't seriously hurt. One dude's walking by. He looks at me and goes, ha! Keeps on walking. Keeps on walking. Once that guy said stuff, the humiliation fully set in. I got back on the skateboard, and I'm like booking it even harder, like no one see me, like ridiculous, ridiculous stuff. So skateboard will go here for right now, but you can kind of see at this point that one item, a skateboard, has the ability to bring joy and to bring humiliation, intense, intense humiliation. And we all probably have something like that, don't we? We have something in our lives that has the ability to bring us, in one moment, joy, another moment, humiliation. Now, for you, it might be another hobby that you have. I could have some running shoes up here, right? For those of you who run, you incredible people, right? Don't understand it. So, on like mile three, you're like feeling all the endorphins, and you are hype. But then mile like 23, you're like, why can't I die right now? Why can't death come my way? It might be another hobby. It might be a sport. When your team is winning, it's almost like you've won. But then when your team, I can't say it because I have my own team. When your team loses and they lose horribly, even the commentators say, it's a humiliation out there for so-and-so. You feel like you're the one who fumbled the pass or missed the penalty or didn't make match point, any of those things. Like, you feel that yourself. Like, your team can bring, like, humiliation or joy to you. All the same exact thing. For maybe you, it's a person. We all have that friend, right? Who, when, like, everything's working good, like, you're, like, the best of friends and you're on top of the world. But then you have that moment where you say to yourself, why did I believe they'd be here on time? Like, I'm sitting in this restaurant for 30 minutes. And they roll in like nothing's wrong. I'm like, bro, like, I had to eat so much bread to wait for you. I can't even eat dinner now. Like, you just feel awful. And the person looking at you like, are you sure they're gonna come? Like, I promise they're coming. So we might have even people that can just bring us from joy to humiliation just in a moment. Now, here's the thing. You might even be saying that, Jamel, that's just how life is, okay? Life are all these ups and downs and highs and lows and trials and tribulations. Like, that's just how life is. Well, what if I said to you that there was a way that life didn't have to be so up and down? What if there is a way that not all of the downs could be taken away, but there is a way to kind of have a way to be constant in some way throughout all of it? What if joy could bring you to a place where maybe the stuff around you is up and down like this, but you can go through it? Well, you can go through it without such randomness, it feels. That might be something you'd be interested in, I hope. And I believe that there's a reality that we'll see today as we're looking through a passage that's written by the Apostle Paul that I think can get us to this idea. And that idea is, I hope, the one that you can maybe remember, that maybe you can take out of this room with you as you go elsewhere. It could be something that can impact your mind, your heart, and even your actions. It's this idea right here. It's the idea that humiliation sometimes precedes joy. Now, that reality kind of sounds awful, doesn't it? And it's definitely not ideal. Ideally, joy would just be joy, wouldn't it? And you wouldn't have to deal with the humiliation side of things. And that's the ideal, and I hope we can get there somehow. But today, we're talking about the unfortunate reality that sometimes it takes humiliation, it takes that feeling of just defeat to be there so that we can fully appreciate what real joy is. And I think if we can begin to understand that, to remind ourselves of it, and to really feel it, it has the potential to change what we do, and therefore all of the ups and the downs. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a passage of the New Testament that talks about this, where I kind of see this here. And if you're a person who likes to flip in a Bible somewhere on your Bible app, you can flip to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And if you want to have the same translation, it kind of matters in this one. It's the NRSV translation. So if you want to get there in your Bible apps, that'd be a great time to do that right now. Philippians chapter 2, if you get there, you'll be there for the verse when we get there. And I wanted to give a little bit of setup to this passage. An idea I always want to remind people of every time I talk about anything from the Bible is that the Bible is written by real people to other real people in a real time. So Paul is a real person who exists outside of the Bible. He is historically identified as a person who lived. And even on top of all of that, he is historically accredited with this passage pretty much beyond any shadow of a doubt. So Paul wrote this section and he wrote this passage to a group of other Christians that he knew and that he worked with while he actually was in prison, experiencing probably one of the humiliation moments of his whole life. And so he's writing this to these people. And Paul is trying to get us to kind of see this idea, I believe. And so as Paul is writing this, we also have to remember for our own selves the difference between happiness and joy. Like Pastor Tony said earlier, our lead pastor, Shane, is off away writing his doctoral dissertation. Guys, I don't even care if you pray on a regular basis. You should pray for him, please. Like, if you don't even believe in God, just, like, fake one, because he can use it. So those things are hard, man. So he, in his sermon, explained the difference between happiness and joy in such a great way that I, like, wrote it down and was like, I'm definitely going to use that one. So I'm going to remind you of just what he said. And the first one is what happiness is. Happiness is external. So for happiness, and happiness is good. Happiness is good. But for happiness, you need something outside of yourself for it to work. So you need a skateboard. You need a sports team. You need a friend. You need a significant other. And for happiness to happen. So outside things bring happiness. Now, of course, the problem is that when that outside thing goes away, or the outside thing doesn't work anymore, or maybe you're unable to use that outside thing, like if I believed in knocking on wood, I would, but I don't, so I won't. So if my knee shattered, right? If I shattered my knee, bye-bye skateboarding, bye-bye the happiness that skateboarding brings. If you have a friend that is in your life but then leaves your life, bye-bye that friend and bye-bye the happiness of that friend. Or let's say that friend just has a bad day and bye-bye happiness for that day. So that's why happiness is external. And a better thing is joy. And joy is internal. Joy is internal. Joy exists in here, in the mind, in the heart, in the soul, and however all that works. And joy exists there. And since joy exists in here, it's almost impossible for anyone or anything to get to it. And so, but what is it that fixes joy to us? And a really great thing that Pastor Shane said that I'll remind yourself again is that happiness is based on circumstances, but joy is based on Jesus. So happiness is based on all of these things around us that can change and be different depending on the day, but Jesus and what he's done for us remains consistent. So if we can find joy at all in the fact that Jesus lived the perfect life, he died so that we could have a consistent, close relationship with the God who created us. These are the things that make up the gospel, right? If we can see Jesus for that, and we can believe in those things and remind ourselves of those things, and that enables us to have joy despite what's happening all around here. But there's still this dynamic of humiliation in the story of Jesus that I think this passage we're going to get to in a moment really sets up well. So now to the passage we go, starting at verse 5. Please look on with me. I'll do some reading, and then we'll make some comments. So it goes like this. Verse 5, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So highlighted mind for a reason. And so it says that this idea of humiliation preceding joy starts up here. It starts in the way that we think. And I am a person who truly believes that if I can think like Jesus, that better enables me to live like Jesus. So if I can get in my mind the same way that Jesus thought, as close as I can being a person that isn't perfect like Jesus was, if I can get in my mind how Jesus thought, the ways that Jesus would do things, just starting up here and, you know, coming from the heart, and that has the ability to change my actions so that I can be more like Jesus and get us towards this idea of joy that happens regardless. But yet we'll keep going in the verse. And so verse 6-7, it says, who, that being Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Stop right there. I don't know if it's just me, but every time I see slave in the Bible, I get a little worried and concerned and kind of upset. So I can't explore this much today, but I'll just say that when you see the word slave in the Bible, it's not Civil War type slavery. It's actually more close to the idea of indentured servitude. And so if that can help you at all with maybe the way that this makes you feel like it does me, I just want to put that out there. But so there's that. So we'll keep going. Form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form. Guys, I think sometimes that eating it in front of dozens of people is humiliating. Can you imagine the humiliation of going from heaven to earth? Can you think about, I think about this all the time, the downgrade from being on the throne. I don't know everything about heaven, but there's like thrones involved. There's people singing your name if you're Jesus. There's this idea that there's no sadness, no pain. And so Jesus is in heaven. Again, this is kind of talking about the Trinity, but again, not fully up on it, but this is the best I can think of. You know, so however the Trinity is arranged, right? You have God, you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and they're up in heaven in all of its goodness, and they're looking down at earth at their most prized and important creation, and they see them. And then if this was me up there, now I'm not Jesus, but if this was me up there, you know, they're saying things like, man, like something needs to be done for them. And I'm like, yeah, someone needs to do something to help them, absolutely. But I'm not Jesus, so Jesus must have did something totally different. He was like, I got this. Jesus decided to come down to earth and be a human. But then I would have thought, like, pop up as an adult. Like, you're God, you can do that. But no, comes down as a baby. How can it be to go from creating the universe to pooping on yourself and waiting for others to change you? I don't understand. This is why Jesus is so good, y'all. Like, the ability to do that blows me away. The humiliation that Jesus had to go through, because we're starting to see this in Jesus, right? There's humiliation in the story of Jesus, greater than we ever could imagine or think about. And so Jesus comes, and then we have the last verse, which I think really gets us to our idea, is that he humbled himself. And I was sitting in a counselor's office once, and he was talking to me, and he goes, "Jamel, do you know what humility means?" I'm like, "Not really." And he goes, "Well, this isn't a textbook definition, but this is one that I like." And he goes like this. He goes, humility means to be humiliated. And honestly, I'd never thought about it that way. So we think about it. So for Jesus, we can go back to the verse. So humility, to be humiliated. Humility means to be humiliated. That's one way of looking at it. And he humiliated himself. He chose. He humiliated himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus came, and he came so that he could take on the punishment of all sin. And if you're here and you're like, "I'm not exactly sure what sin is," like, a small definition of sin is just the things that we do wrong. And so there are all of these things that humans had done wrong, but Jesus was perfect and he didn't do anything wrong. But he came to take the punishment for all that we had done wrong. And that came in what had to be the most humiliating experience ever, of the cross, of being stripped of your clothes, what happened to Jesus, being dragged miles and miles and miles, being beaten. He didn't do anything. He didn't deserve any of this. He's beaten, and he's hung to die in front of others for entertainment. The humiliation that Jesus went through for me and for you. For all of us, for all of humanity, whether you would say that you're a follower of Jesus or not, whether you're here in this room or you're with us virtually, like, Jesus did that for you. And the humiliation that he went through was incredible. Yet for those of us who are here and know the full story of Jesus, we can say that that humiliation went on to something better. It went on to joy. And so I'll start with us. So sometimes you just gotta see the mess ups on a skateboard to fully understand the beauty and the joy of the rollaway. Sometimes you need to be down and out for the comeback to feel extra sweet. Sometimes you have to feel like everything's going wrong to fully appreciate when things are actually going right. Sometimes you have to have several bad friends to be able to have the criteria and the vision to find a best friend. Sometimes, to fully appreciate the joy of following Jesus, you have to experience the humiliation of following Jesus too. And for Jesus, we capped it all off, which made it oh so good, that the humiliation of the death on a cross led to the ultimate joy of the resurrection. And when you think about it like that, that has the ability to give us a way to see, to help us to fully appreciate what joy really is. And so for Jesus, we see in his life that humiliation preceded joy. And so how can we look at our lives and change the way that we see? Because it starts with in the mind, having the mind of Jesus for all of this. How can we adopt that same mindset to ourselves? How can we have this internal compass that enables us to guide ourselves through humiliation to see where the joy can be lying on the other side? So I want to speak to everyone here that would consider themselves a Christian. So let's go back to the skateboard, but make it a little bigger than the skateboard. Like, has following Jesus become something that we consider that gives us in one moment ultimate joy, but another minute ultimate humiliation? Because in one sense, that's kind of true. I'm going to use some pretty church-specific examples here just to maybe hopefully get the point across to those of us who follow Jesus in the room. So sometimes we say to ourselves, you know what, man, I just don't enjoy worship. I just don't like it. But really what I think we might be saying is that in all actuality, we are unwilling to expose ourselves to the humiliation of hearing someone else hear me sing, right? Sometimes you wonder why the volume is at the level that it is, hopefully so you can't hear each other, but because it just makes you a little more brave, right? But every now and again, like, you just get so worried. It's like, man, you know what? Like, I'm not going to sing because I don't want to disrupt the person next to me. I don't want to ruin their morning. You know what I'm saying? But maybe, just maybe, maybe the reason that we're not fully experiencing the joy that could be of worship is because we're not willing to go through the humiliation of potentially somebody hearing your voice. Maybe, just maybe, okay? Maybe we aren't experiencing the full joy of following Jesus because we only follow Jesus, like, in this building, right? Because when we leave, sometimes we just get worried, like, oh my gosh, like, it's 2019, like, I don't want to offend my coworker and my neighbor, like, I don't want to talk about Jesus just in case they don't like Jesus, so I'm just going to not say anything and just, like, hope it works out. But in actuality, maybe going through the humiliation of, like, talking about it and having that awkward conversation at first could lead to something much greater that could bring joy into your life and the life of somebody else. So we have this tension that we need to fight through to be able to get to a point where we have the ability to see humiliation not just on itself, but what can happen past it and what joy Jesus can bring through it. So if at this point you're maybe agreeing with me, and you might believe that this could be, so there's some truth to this reality here, this idea from Jesus, from Paul talking about Jesus. Like, what's the next thing that you should do? I think that there is an appropriate next step for all of us, and that next step would be to do something humiliating with Jesus. That could be your next step. And I was kind of scared to put this on the screen because there's going to be that somebody who decides, well, this is my time to just tell my neighbor what for about their lifestyle and suffer the humiliation like I should. No, not that. Please, please, no. No, please don't do that. But I think you know what it is authentically. That's why I said with Jesus. Like, there's something that Jesus wants to do, and Jesus is bringing you alongside with him. He's like, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. If you can just take the perspective that humility sometimes precedes joy, and that if we can go with Jesus to that thing, there's a potential for joy like we hadn't seen before. Now, I know that this is really scary. Like, your next step could be really scary. I think most next steps are. There's this thing where we're just unsure how it's going to work out because on the front end, you can see humiliation, and it's hard to see over it to the back end. But there is just something about the story of Jesus that when humiliation builds, it has the potential to build even greater joy. So for each and every one of us, whatever that thing is for you, whatever that thing is for me, if we can believe, if we can trust that the example of Jesus is one that we can follow, then we have the potential for such joy in our lives, such greater joy than we've experienced already, joy that we can hardly think about because we're so nervous about the first step. But if we can take that first step with Jesus, there's a potential for so much. If you can have that conversation, if you can go to that meeting, if you can think about bringing another person into your home that you aren't really sure about, all this foster care stuff, if you could just envision the benefits of a conversation with your friend that doesn't already follow Jesus, like, all of these things have the potential that when it's said and done, that there is goodness, that there is joy, and there's transformation for you, for the other person that is most likely involved in that. because sometimes you might need to just talk embarrassment out of yourself. Like, I'm embarrassed in me. How do I get me? Like, that's just a moment where we trust with Jesus, we give ourselves to Jesus, and we go with Jesus. And I authentically believe that if we can take this next step, we can have a moment where we're able to have joy like we hadn't had before. And let's be real. Joy is something that every single one of us needs. It's something that all of us want. And I personally believe that is best found with and in Jesus. So with that said, I hope that I can pray for you as I'm finishing up and have one thing to say after this prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for setting the example. Thank you so much for suffering your greatest humiliation to lead to all of creation's greatest joy. We thank you. We pray that you can give us your mind so that we can do likewise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.